Good morning and welcome. Glad to have you here at the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan, and I'll be leading worship today along with John Robbins, who is our liturgist, and Lynn Meyer, who will be starting out on the piano but also playing the organ for us this morning. And we also have Jean Monteith presenting the 2022 Scholarship Awards, so a very special morning this morning. If you're visiting with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out a welcome card and put it in one of the offering plates that are at the back of the sanctuary. If you're visiting with us online, we invite you to leave a message on Facebook. And if you want to find out more about our congregation, you can call the church office at 614-882-3155. The flowers this morning are given by the Women's Circle in memory of all children who have died here and especially in the war in Ukraine. So we thank you for those very pretty flowers and the special dedication they have. Some other announcements for you this morning. We have continuing our Saturday morning Farmers Market ministry led by Reverend Heather Hicks. She and volunteers from our church stake out a place right there on that parking lot during the farmer's market, and they help entertain the kids who are being dragged to the farmer's market by their parents, right? So it's a wonderful ministry. They had over 200 kids yesterday. And so we really need volunteers just to help out. You don't have to do it, just enjoy the kids, talk to the parents. There's a sign-up sheet in our sign-up book out there, or you can talk to Heather, and she can tell you all about it. And this is Saturday mornings here in Uptown Westerville. The Westerville Habitat Partnership Tapestry of a Town Tour is today. From 1 to 5 p.m., where 10 historic Westerville sites are open for you to tour. Tickets are $15. I'm going to look for John. Are tickets still available? Tickets are still available. Is that right? Okay, so yes, you can still get tickets on a wonderful afternoon and tour. And of course, all the funds raised go to the Habitat for Humanity of Delaware and Union Counties. So be glad to have you help out Habitat today. Looking ahead a little bit, Rally Day is coming. Everyone is invited to be part of our Rally Day on August 14, 2 weeks from today. In the morning, we'll kick off our Sunday school program by handing out Bibles to our three-year-olds and our fourth graders, and then children will go to the Jesus and Me program up in the Heart Room after the Especially for Children. And then following that time, there will be a special fellowship hour following the service. And then later in the day at 5 p.m., there will be a picnic and carnival at Henson's home on Tussock Avenue. And everyone's invited to be part of that picnic. The food will be provided and activities for the kids provided by our Christian education team. And let me note, I am told that some important people are going to get wet. Is that right? So you can ask Heather about that. Also part of Rally Day, we will be blessing the backpacks in worship on Sunday morning. So kids are invited to present their backpacks in worship on Sunday to have them blessed for the new school year. And adults, you're welcome to bring your briefcase if you want that blessed as well. Don't laugh, that's important, okay? All right, speaking of our educational ministries, the Christian Education Design Team will be meeting today following the worship service in the fellowship room for lunch and discussion of their work to enhance our Christian education ministry. If you'd like to know more about this, you can talk to Heather following the service or wander downstairs and see what's going on. John Cameron, who is our Mobility Assistance Program Coordinator, shared with me that we have had a great increase in loans of mobility equipment like wheelchairs and crutches and walkers and things during this past week. And thus we are in need. In fact, he put it as desperate need of more mobility equipment to loan out, especially rollators and wheelchairs, knee scooters, and transportation wheelchairs, or anything else that we usually collect, such as bedside commodes, toilet risers, shower chairs, tub transfer benches, and things like that. You can talk to John, who's over here, and his cohort, the other John, John Simpkins, who's next to him, about what you might have to donate and how to get it here. So we'll be glad to have that. Finally, I wanted to know that today is World Ranger Day, and we have two park rangers in our congregation wearing their ranger shirts. You can ask them all about what it is like to be a park ranger, but this is World Ranger Day. So now let us begin our worship with the music from the Prelude with Lynn on the piano.
Let's call one another to worship. A new day has dawned, God's gift to us. The Spirit of God is come upon us and made us new.
We are a new creation, Jesus Christ.
The old has passed away, and the new has come. Let all who are faithful offer up prayers and shouts and songs of joy and thanksgiving. We are glad to join the dance of life. In the community of faith, we rejoice and sing. Let us worship God.
Thank you.
Let's join together in the prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been and help us to amend what we are and direct us to be. To lead in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. The crucified Christ has set us free to live the spirit of life. Hear the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
Please be seated. I'd like the attention of the children who are with us, maybe that includes you, being a child at heart. I wanted to say that this is a special Sunday, and in a moment we're going to, Mr. Monteith is going to get up and speak about scholarships. And there'll be some people standing up here that are just a little older than most of the children I'm talking to here this morning, but not that much older. They're still in school, just like you are, but they're going to special schools, college or nursing school or grad school, some very important schools that someday you might go to. Those schools, and we are happy to help them out here at the church to do that. And I was thinking about how much stuff they've had to learn, right? How much stuff they've had to learn along the way to go to these special schools. They've been going to school for a long time, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, maybe even more years. And they've been learning a lot. Their heads are just full of all sorts of stuff. But the thing is, they want to put even more stuff in their heads. And that's very special. We want to help them do that. But it got me thinking that in a couple weeks, school is going to start for all of our younger kids as well. And I just want to wish you well as you start school too, because there's a lot of things you want to get in your heads to learn about and to be skills that you want to practice. And we want to encourage that as well, because God gave us brains, right? God gave us brains to think and use and make the world better. And I think all of the young people that you're going to see up here in a minute are out to make the world better in one way or another, and we're so excited about that. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, we thank you that you gave us our brains to use, to learn, and to apply what we've learned to make the world better. So help all these scholarship recipients and all of our kids as they begin school soon, that they can learn and they can help make your world better. Amen. And now I'm going to invite Gene Monteith to come up. And Gene, I think you can just go ahead and use this one if you're.
Good morning. I'm really excited on behalf of the scholarship committee, and their names are printed in today's bulletin to announce and present the scholarships for this year's round of winners. If those who are here, not everybody is here, would come to the front. I'm going to give a little background on the scholarships before we announce them. So each year our church offers the opportunity for educational scholarships funded through grants from our members, and I'll tell you about those funds in a little bit. these scholarships can be used for, and this year they changed a little bit. We expanded them to continuing education and credential programs, but they can be used for degree programs, trade school programs, continuing education and certification programs. Recipients must be church members or active in the church. All of our winners were asked to describe their church involvement in some essays. They were really good. What they're studying and why a scholarship would be important to them. They also were required to submit their most recent transcripts, and I'm happy to report that everybody is passing their courses. This year, we're awarding scholarships to five church members, and the scholarship committee was extremely impressed with their qualifications. They are Jack Bates, who's here, Sarah Bricker-Smith, whose mother Mary is here to accept on her behalf, Abigail Hansen, who's here, Elise Rubel, and Drew Wright. Scholarship amounts vary every year according to the amount of funds available and the number of applicants. We're really pleased this year to announce that each recipient is receiving $1,000. Not every recipient, as I said, they're not able to be here today, but in a minute you'll hear from those who are. And before I do, it's really important also to acknowledge where these funds come from, because without these funds, scholarships would not be possible. So I'm going to read them, and if I miss any, raise your hand and add to it. But I've got the Baker Burnside Scholarship, the Griffith McOwen Scholarship, the John D. Leiter Memorial Scholarship, Miller Seller Scholarship, Robert Miner Memorial Scholarship, Mary Stout Memorial Scholarship, Robert J. Wilcox and Eleanor J. Wilcox Scholarship, the General Scholarship Account from the Connie Ackerman Memorial, and the Hafenden Scholarship Fund, which is designated for one nursing student each year. Now, we have two nursing students who received scholarships this year. Both Elise and Abigail are nursing students, and both are really worthy candidates, but Elise got her application in first, so she's this year's designated Hafenden recipient. There's no difference in the amount of scholarship money. So let's hear from the winners. If you just turn around and face the congregation, and I'll just go down the list and tell people who you are, what you're planning to do, and why the scholarship is important.
My name's Abigail Hansen. I'm starting my second of a three-year nursing program at The Ohio State University. This upcoming semester, my clinical rotation, I will be working with mothers and infants as well as the very newest and sickest babies, so I'm really excited to get into that arena. I've worked in healthcare for about a decade, and I'm really, really passionate about it and about nursing specifically, and this money is going to help with. I need a new battery for my laptop that's required for all of my classes, and textbooks are always really expensive, so I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm not Sarah Bricker-Smith. I know I look just like her, but people get us mixed up all the time. Sarah is out of town, and she sent a message this morning by text to say she is thankful for the love and support from this congregation for the last 22 years and loves you all very much. And we are packing up next weekend to leave. We're leaving next weekend for sunny Florida, because August is always the best time to visit Florida, and she's going to be moving there and enrolling at University of Southern Florida in a master's in sports management program.
Hi, I'm Jack Bates. I'm going to go to Ohio Wesleyan University in Delaware for education. I just want to say thank you to all my elders here for raising me as a young little boy right here in this seat to now sitting in the back seat and taking all the information and all the stories in. And thank you for the money, too. I'm going to be using that for room and board. I can't wait for it. It's going to be crazy.
It says John Bates on
here. Oh, right? Yeah, that's my real name. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Still, you can still cash that.
Thank you.
I've had problems with that.
So anyway, I'm going to thank everybody, all of you, for applying. This is a great day for us. By the way, the members of the scholarship committee's names are printed in the bulletin, as are the background of this year's recipients, so you can see who's not here and see a little bit about them as well. After the service, we have cakes instead of cookies today. These are from Schneider's Bakery. They're going to be back where we usually have the cookies. And one final word, you know, remember, as I said, these funds are made available by the generosity of our members. Whether or not you have a scholarship fund named after you, you can still donate to this fund. So let's congratulate all of the...
Scripture today is from the book of Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 16. Listen carefully, because we're talking about Jesus' teaching. He left that place and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. And crowds gathered around him, and it was his custom, he began to teach them. Some Pharisees came to him, and they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" And he answered them, "What did Moses command of you?" And they said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this. He wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter, and he said to them, "Who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her, and if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing their little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for of such is the kingdom of God, to such as the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will neither enter it." And he took them up into his arms, and he laid his hands upon them, and he blessed them. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you for these words of your Holy Scripture. And we ask that your Spirit work within us and amongst us as we reflect upon these words this morning. Amen. Earlier this week, someone came up to me and said, "So, Pastor, what are you preaching on this week?" And I simply said, "Divorce." And this person said, "Yuck." And that's what I say too, yuck. But then divorce is a great big yuck. Divorces are messy. Divorces are painful. And maybe there was a time when divorce was infrequent, but now it's hard to find someone who hasn't been touched by divorce. I would guess that everyone in this worship service today has been touched by divorce in one way or another. It might have been our parents, might have been our brother or our sister. Maybe our friends have gotten divorced, or our neighbors. Maybe our children have gone through divorce. It may have even been one of us who have gone through the unfortunate and unpleasant experience of divorce. Now, to say that divorce is unpleasant is often an understatement. Sure, there are those who manage to have what is often termed an amiable divorce, but I would guess that even these people would say that the divorce itself was unpleasant and something they would not want to go through again. And then there are those divorces that are anything but amiable. And these divorces are not just unpleasant, they're downright painful, both physically and spiritually, not only for the two getting divorced, but for all those connected with them, children, parents, siblings, neighbors, friends, work colleagues, they're all affected by divorce. And it doesn't help when we read passages in the Bible like this one that was read today, where Jesus connects divorce with adultery. As Lutheran pastor Daniel Sorensen wrote, here we are in a place that is supposed to provide us with solace, a place where we have a relationship with a loving God, yet Jesus is telling us that our actions violate one of the Ten Commandments. And so I've been spending the week reading this scripture and reflecting upon it, and I wondered, is that how Jesus is saying it? Or is that how we are hearing it? For sometimes we need to dig into the scriptures to make sure that we are hearing exactly what Jesus is saying. Our passage this morning begins with the Pharisees coming to Jesus with a question. A question they know doesn't have a good answer. And this was a common tactic for the Pharisees. Think about when Jesus was asked whether or not the Jews should pay taxes to the Romans. And so here again, the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus into making an answer that will upset some or even all of his followers. And they are doing this because Jesus has become well known enough to become a threat to their position within their culture. In this case, it might be good to remember that earlier in the gospel, Mark tells us that John the Baptist was executed by King Herod because he dared to challenge the king's divorce. The Pharisees know that Jesus' answer will either upset the crowds or upset the king. In either way, it is a win for them. So they come to Jesus. And they ask him about divorce. And Jesus does what he often does. He returns a question with a question. And he says, what did Moses say? Which was his way of saying, what does it say in the law of Moses, which is found in the first five books of the Old Testament? And the Pharisees, who know this law backwards and forwards, know what Moses said. And they know that Moses allowed divorce. The law allowed for men to divorce their wives. Jesus knew this. So he responded by saying that while Moses allowed it, God never intended it to be the standard for relationships. The standard for relationship, Jesus tells the Pharisees, is found in the creation story in Genesis. That the two should become one flesh, and that what God has joined together, no one should put asunder. Jesus tells us that marriage is a lifelong partnership, and that this is the ideal. Unless it is an arranged marriage, most weddings do not happen without at least a little bit of falling in love, maybe a lot. There is the meeting, and the dating, and then the courting that all happen along the way. And then there is that wonderful feeling of falling in love. And all this is good. This is how God made things to be. And when you think about it, this is true of our friendships as well, or our work relationships, or our relationships with other family members. We care about the other person, the work team, our extended family, so much that we are committed to them and to what we have in common. We may not fall in love with our work team, but in all these relationships, we are bound to each other And that connection has a positive effect on us. And this is how the world should be, Jesus tells us. This is how the world should be. But then there is the human reality, isn't there? We live in a world that is plagued by sin and greed and power and violence and spite and jealousy and ambition and cruelty, and they all enter our daily lives and they often enter our relationships as well. Sin affects not only our marriages, but our friendships and our professional lives as well. This was the world that Jesus and Moses were addressing. The world as it should be, up against the world as it is. In the world as it should be, there would only be perfect marriages, no divorce, perfect relationship. All friendships would be deep and everlasting. All work teams would be collegial and productive. But in the world as it is, the world in which we actually live, there is no such thing as that perfect relationship. Jesus was fully aware that in those days, the privilege of divorce, like so many other privileges, was being abused. What was once limited to an understanding of what was acceptable grounds for divorce had become broader and, in reality, more frivolous. Once adultery was the only grounds for divorce, but by Jesus' day, there were those who asked for a divorce for almost any reason. One commentator said it was like if the wife burned the toast, you could divorce her. There's even an ancient writing where one rabbi who said that divorce was permissible if the husband found a prettier woman to marry. And so this was the milieu in which Jesus was talking about. And add that to the imbalance of divorce in Jesus' time. It was a patriarchal society where men had the economic power and women didn't. Men could survive divorce. For women, it was a much riskier proposition. And so it is against this human reality that Jesus held up the standard of marriage as God's intended. Just as we should never enter into marriage for frivolous reasons, nor shall we try to get out of a marriage for frivolous reasons. Jesus then speaks of divorce and remarriage as adultery, a violation of one of the Ten Commandments, and another reminder that that the divine understanding of marriage is different than the human reality of marriage. You will note in his comments, though, about adultery, that he puts men and women on equal footing. They both can commit adultery. And so we are in a hard place, facing an ideal that is challenging, if not impossible, to live up to. But then isn't that the challenge of all aspects of a faithful life? We know, we are told, we should pray unceasingly in the Bible, but we don't. And yet we try. We are directed to give all that we have to the poor by Jesus, but we won't. And yet we keep on giving. We are told that to love even our enemies, and yet we can't. And yet we keep on practicing love to the best of our ability. We are told that we need to live in the covenant of marriage for a lifetime, and we find that hard to do, and yet we keep on trying. And if you read ahead in this very chapter of Mark, you'll find out that Mark says what is impossible for us is possible for God. We make our commitment to marriage or any other relationship and we strive to uphold it. It is hard work. It is time consuming. It is emotionally draining. It requires patience and honesty and confession and forgiveness. And yes, more hard work. But it is also sacred work. It is work that pays off in a deeper, more satisfying relationship with the one you're married to, the relationship you're trying to hold together, the friendship that you value, and with our God. Yes, divorce is permitted, but it is not the standard. The standard is for us to do all that we can to honor the covenant of marriage and value its sacredness. But what about those marriages that do end in divorce? What about those couples that try as hard as they possibly can, but the difficulties are too hard to overcome? What about those marriages that are violated by infidelity? What about those marriages that are filled with physical or mental abuse? And divorce is literally a life-saving way out. What about the reality of human sin that we all live in? Does Jesus still love the divorcee as much as the married person? Can the divorced find acceptance in Christ's church? These are the questions we find ourselves asking, and perhaps the next few verses in this passage can help us out this morning. For you see, in verse 13, right after Jesus talks about marriage and divorce and adultery, in verse 13, Mark tells us that people were bringing children to see Jesus, to be touched by him. But these children are prevented from getting close to Jesus by the adults who have ideas about where children should be and what is right and what is wrong and what is proper and what is not and what is legal and what is illegal. And adults can really get in the way, can't they? Adults' minds are full of judgments of what is right and what is wrong, what is permissible and what is not. And then there is Jesus, who chastises those who stand between him and the children. Jesus wants the children to come to him. He puts them on his lap and he blesses them. And all this happens right after his teaching on divorce. We are the children of divorce. Some of us are literal children of divorce. Our parents are divorced and we had to live through that. Some of us went through our own divorces, and like the children in the story, we are desperate to sit on Jesus' lap and be blessed by him. Some of us have witnessed and even experienced the pain of divorce within our families and among our friends, and we too wonder, where is Jesus in all this pain? And Mark tells us, here is Jesus telling us that we are all his children, and we should not let others keep us from approaching him. And when we do come to Jesus with the pain of divorce and all the other pains of broken relationships in our lives, he welcomes us and places us on his lap, and he blesses us. And when I think about that, I realize that is the place I want to be. Amen.
Thank you.
come before God in prayer. We lift up those who are in particular need of prayer. Personal prayers to God, and then I will lead us in our common prayers. Let us pray. O Lord, hear our prayers. Liberator God, Redeemer God, Emancipator God, for your power that notices, your passion that descends, your freedom that liberates, we thank you. For on this morning, we acknowledge that you are the one on whose power we depend, upon whose passion we feed, upon whose freedom we are truly free. Grant to us this morning that we may know your presence with us and that we might, that you might hear our prayers. On this morning, we hold in your presence all those held in bondage and fear and despair, in poverty and weariness, in the midst of crime and war and other violence. We especially hold before you those whom we have mentioned, whether they be mentioned out loud or mentioned in our hearts. We ask that you work your wonders among us, that your strength might undergird us, that your gentleness might comfort us, that your abiding love might hold us forever. Work your wonders, we pray, for it is your wonders that we seek. And we pray all this together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us join in our closing hymn. Probably don't need to remind you that there is cake out there and our graduates to congratulate. And when you do leave from this place, I don't need to remind you that God's love goes with you and is with you always. Amen.